Welcome back to Free Marijuana Podcast. I am here again with Mr. Richard Battenberg, who is a fund manager at Clientele Capital Group. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Bill.
Rich, we were talking in the last episode really very in general terms about what this means for professionals and what this means for the industry, how pharmaceuticals work. We really covered a lot of ground, but let's get to something near and dear to everyone's heart. Do investors in this business have to worry if this becomes, you know, descheduled or rescheduled? If someone owns a grow or a piece of a grow,
right.
Is this a cause for panic?
Right. No. Well, only if you're not in already.
Okay. And you have a way to let people in. I've
yes. Oddly enough.
How interesting. Yes.
I think that, so what we're talking about is moving cannabis from Schedule 1, an illegal substance, to Schedule 2, a prescribed substance. And what does that do to the existing infrastructure and the existing availability as it relates to an investor in the industry?
Right, right.
Okay.
Is it increasing demand? Is it making me more valuable?
It changes. I would think, you know, my personal opinion obviously is that it's the immediate impact is really great for those in the industry and then by extension the investors in the industry, for the simple fact that the threat of federal prosecution disappears for the most part.
Good. So there's a comfort level right there.
Well,
right?
Yeah.
Because there are investors that are afraid of this cause of that.
Sure. And it's a valid concern, right? Mm-hmm. It also opens up markets, obviously, that are currently closed. So, you know, what's bad about that if you're in the industry?
Particularly if people know how to actually get the product and get it to people in an effective way.
Yeah, I mean, if you're
they can duplicate that in Wyoming and Nebraska. And
right. Well, in the initial impact, in the most immediate impact is, I think, people who are already in the industry and the service providers that are already in the industry. For the service providers already in the industry, they lose their sort of monopoly or closed system from other service providers who may be in the same, who be able to deliver the same or similar services, who have chosen not to get in because of the federal threat.
Mm-hmm.
So market pressures would say that more availability of products should drive prices down, meaning your attorneys, your contractors,
accountants,
your accountants,
delivery people, couriers,
all that stuff.
Banks.
Banks are huge. You know, the banks...
Don't
probably.
You pay some exorbitant banking fees for some of the stuff you do?
Well, many of the banks don't want to be involved with it because they're federally insured. So mm-hmm. for a bank to knowingly and aggressively get involved with the business is a true risk for them unless they're a private local bank within the confines of a state where it's legal.
Okay.
And even then, they're federally insured, so they're still taking a risk. So that risk basically disappears overnight is the theory.
Right.
It would depend that there's the moving from Schedule 1 to Schedule 2 by the DEA is not a law.
Okay.
That's a policy.
Oh, okay.
Right? So the next thing to move would be laws, and we all know how fast that moves.
Right, that moves really quickly. Right.
So the movement from the enforcement agency in policy surrounding this substance means that they can no longer enforce it as being illegal. Therefore, the first thing that comes off is, well, nobody's going to arrest me in Kansas
right.
for having weed.
Right. Right.
So, you know, your lawyers, your banks, your insurance companies, your contractors are no longer have the claim to charge a premium that they're going to lose their license.
So you're in a world where you're not only selling, but you're also buying all these services.
Yes.
So with the decrease in risk because of the change of schedule, has to be accompanied by a decrease in stigma. Because every bank will handle a beer company. Every lawyer will work for a winery.
I can tell you from being in the business, there's a lot more acceptance there's a lot more desire to accept the business than there is actual acceptance. In other words, there is the stigma, and it's all kind of hush hush, and there's a lot of we'd like to be involved with this, but so. Does the mere fact that the DEA says, gee, this isn't, I guess, as bad as it was,
right?
Does that help? I don't see how that wouldn't help.
Yeah,
That's not going to change people's beliefs entirely.
Right.
There are people that are patently against cannabis, and they have a rather lengthy list of why.
Yeah.
One of those things, and what I've always said is the trump card is, mm-hmm. and it's illegal.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, which is that's a pretty big ace of spades
right.
if we're talking trump cards, right?
Right.
In Colorado, obviously, you've said, well, not here.
Yes.
So.
Yes. And you're all about, in your personal life and the stuff you speak about, you're all about responsible adult use.
Yes.
That seems to be something you have said over and over and over again.
Yeah, well, I think that's really important because, you know, I believe that it's an adult use product if it's not being used medicinally, not unlike the way we regulate cigarettes or alcohol or any gambling or any other things that may be sin taxed.
Right.
And I think it's just another extension of that kind of product line. And we don't have bathtub gin anymore, and I don't think that we should have unsafe weed.
Right,
so.
Right. People went blind from bathtub gin.
You're right.
And
right.
It couldn't be measured.
Right.
And in comes with the responsible use. Lots of packaging guys can get involved.
Sure.
Lots of education can get involved. They can teach classes at the Sid College. I mean,
right.
You can talk to church groups. I mean, you can get as granular as you want.
Sure. I mean, it's a decision to. I mean, I think at our base, at the root of adult use marijuana.
Good pun.
Yeah.
Yes.
The root of adult use marijuana and the debate around it is really, I think that you either fall on the side of human beings are desire to get altered in one way or another, and this is either an acceptable or an unacceptable way to get altered.
Right.
You know, I often talk about this in our pitch meetings with investors, and you know, if you don't believe that human beings either want to get altered, if you're an investor that wants
right.
to make money off of, or you believe that they shouldn't get altered, those are two different things. You know, one is probably more of a, say, a religious belief or a doctrine, a moral thing. The other is you just don't believe in getting altered this way. And those are, you know, there's a lot of discussion around the debate when you talk about cannabis that. There's kind of a joke cartoon of the guy standing there with
you're doing
a martini
cartoons on radio, just so we know.
With a martini in his hand,
mm-hmm.
talking about how people shouldn't be getting high.
Yeah, right,
so,
right.
So, you know, I mean, it's I guess that's the definition of irony on some level, depending on where you land. So
you're not really pushing that if you're against it, you should be for it. You're not trying to make that argument. I think you're more of the, if you are for it, then there's a responsible way to deal with this. There's a responsible way to invest in it.
Sure.
There's a responsible way to run a company.
Yes.
And on our
and
next
not, and not everybody subscribes to that. It's a free country still.
Yeah.
So.
Well, on our next episode, I want you to tell me about those six facets you have found that run any company.